Thank you, Mr. Pippi, and good morning, everyone. For those of you who may know a little bit of background, if you watch the schedule, you probably would know that this sermonette I'm about to give was actually scheduled for December. It was put off twice, so here we are, 3 months later. It's funny, when you prepare a message, or when I prepare a message, it tends to evolve somewhat over 2-3 weeks, perhaps. And then, during the last week, I put it together relatively in order the way I want to present it, until the last evening, the Friday before I deliver it, and I throw the whole thing in the garbage and start again, for some reason. So after 3 months of sitting on this message, I actually didn't change it a whole lot. I did change the title somewhat. See, the first title I'd come up with was, or actually the first question that I was going to open with was, are we aware of the spiritual battle that surrounds us and at times consumes us? Back in December, that happened to be something that I was studying. That was the first question I was going to ask you, but then I changed it somewhat. I've added one word to it, and I think it changes entirely the meaning of the question, or the significance of the question, let's say. Because this question I want to ask you now is, are we constantly aware of the spiritual battle that surrounds us and at times consumes us? That one word qualifier in that sentence significantly changes the spirit of the question. You know, it's funny, in different business dealings that I've had over the years, I've run into a number of different people, different types of people, just as you have. One particular type of person, not any specific person in mind, because I've noticed several people that do this. There's people in business that will help you with your business in order that they, at some time in the future, can actually take it from you. One specific example that comes to mind, I knew somebody that had just opened this tiny little restaurant in a little village that had a track record of restaurants that could not succeed. And this other individual that I was talking to, he said that he was helping this man start his business because at some point he wanted to take it over and he wanted to buy it cheap. So if he was the man's friend, he would be able to get first dibs. A predator of types, you could say, a business predator. Well, brethren, I want to talk today about a spiritual predator. And if you'll turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to have some way of an introduction to this spiritual predator that stalks us. And it is stalking in the truest sense of the word. And my question is, are we constantly aware of that? 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Sorry, that's that's not the scripture that I was looking for. Oh, it is actually, if I read the right verse. I'm going to read the right verse here now. It's not 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, which I was reading to myself. It was 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, which I'm now going to read out loud. It says, picking it up in verse 7, actually, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. That's talking about God. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Well, brethren, without going into a long explanation of who he's seeking to devour, I think it's safe to assume that we all know that who he is seeking to devour is us. It is God's church. Chances are that if you stop doing what you would normally do during the week last night at sunset and you're keeping the Sabbath today, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because if you're keeping the Sabbath, Satan is diametrically opposed to you keeping that Sabbath, and he is going to be your adversary, and he's going to come at you as a spiritual predator. Now maybe you're thinking, okay, well, no, he couldn't do that to me. Couldn't do that to me, he wouldn't even try. Well, let's take a look at Matthew chapter 4, and we'll just see how bold this predator is and how safe we are not. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. That is probably one of the biggest understatements in the Bible. He was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are Son of God, command that these stones become bread." Now first of all, I find it interesting that Satan actually thinks that he could in fact succeed tempting Christ. Second interesting point is that the first weapon that Satan would use in order to try to tempt Christ was where he knew he was weak. He was physically weak from hunger. The first thing he offered him was an endless supply of food, right? It's the first subject he brought up. How about you, brethren? And how about me? Do we think that Satan does not know where we are weak? Do we think that he would not be willing, as a spiritual predator, to exploit that weakness? Do you think he's more likely to come after us when we're studying and praying? Or do you think he's going to come after us when we're at work, or when we're at school, or when we're doing this or doing that? When absolutely every single thing that can go wrong is going wrong. When you're tired, when you're sick, when you're weak. That's when I added the one word to that question, brethren. Are we constantly aware? Because it's easy to be aware when everything is going your way. You're well rested, you're alert. He preys on weakness, brethren, and that's... He thought that Christ would be weak from hunger, which, physically speaking, he probably was. But if you notice Christ's response to this, picking it up in verse 4, and he answered, this is Christ, and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Satan was exploiting a physical weakness, and Christ immediately responded with a spiritual answer. Are we constantly aware, brethren? Or are we so caught up in our trials, our difficulties in life, whatever they may be, that we become somewhat lethargic in what is really important? Perhaps we even misunderstand why it's happening. You know, if you listen to some of these TV evangelists or some maybe people that you know, this Protestant view that, well, it's meant to be. If God wanted me to be this, then he would make me that. No sense trying. If God wanted me to have a job, I'd have a job. And I can use this because I'm having problems at work right now, so I'm not trying to say anything about anybody else. I'm just saying this is something that I'm dealing with personally. You know, if I sat back and said, you know, if I had a better job, if I needed a better job, God would provide one. If I wanted to have a better living, then God would provide it. Is that really the way that God wants us to fight? We're fighting for our spiritual lives, brethren, and Satan is using physical means to get to us on a spiritual level. So are we fighting a spiritual battle with physical means? Are we missing the entire point of these trials? When trying to consider why certain trials befall us, brethren, we must never forget that there is a spiritual battle that surrounds us and at times consumes us. And Satan has declared war on us. That is the real point of our trials. If we allow ourselves to become lethargic, to become not close to God, then we've already lost. And we couldn't possibly say that we are constantly aware. It's not a matter of being aware on the Sabbath. It's not aware of being aware when we happen to think about it. If we're not constantly aware, brethren, we're fighting a losing battle. Certainly Ephesians, book of Ephesians chapter 6. This kind of helps put physical trials back into perspective. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. It's talking about the armor of God. But in verse 12 it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." It is not a physical battle that we are fighting, brethren, and we cannot use physical means to defend ourselves. Let's turn to James chapter 4. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm not perfect. And I do at times find myself getting very weary and beaten down. And you know what happens? Sometimes it helps me come closer to God, and other times it gets me further away. Maybe that doesn't happen to you. I envy you if it doesn't. Somehow I think that it does. James is hiding right in front of Peter, where he always is. James chapter 4, verse 7. Picking it up at verse 7. "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." That is the spiritual weaponry we must use to arm ourselves in this spiritual battle, brethren. There is no physical means, there is no physical answer. You know, we all know the United States of America is at war. They're in a war on terror. They're trying to fight an ideology by physical means. It was doomed from the start to fail because you cannot change a person's thinking by physical means. It is impossible. Just as you cannot fight a spiritual war by physical means. We must draw near to God, brethren, if we are to stand any chance at all in this spiritual battle we find ourselves in. Not only on the Sabbath, and not only when we're thinking about it, we must constantly be aware of this battle, and we must constantly be allowing God to fight it for us. You know, brethren, the Winter Olympics, as you know, just wound down a few weeks ago. Interesting thing about some of these athletic adventures, these athletes, when we see them, they have been training their entire life. Blood, sweat, and tears before we even know their name. Because if they were no good, they wouldn't be on TV. So the only way they can get there is they train their whole lives. And they do it because they love it. They do it in hopes of standing on that gold medal platform and being recognized for their efforts. A fleeting moment. A fleeting moment on a stage, brethren, is the sum success of their life. You know what a has-been is? When athletes refer to a has-been, brethren, many times it talks about somebody that was a professional athlete who then, through injury, age, many different circumstances, they lose their ability to compete. They lose their ability to do whatever it is that they do. But they don't realize it. And people call them has-beens. Brethren, if we are not constantly aware of the spiritual battle that we are in, we will become spiritual has-beens. We have all the tools that we need, brethren. And our adversary walks and roams this earth like a roaring lion. Do we really understand the magnitude of this situation? Well, brethren, we read in James chapter 4 to draw near unto God, and he will draw near unto us. You know, it's interesting. I looked up, there's one more verse that I wanted to mention more on. If I can find it here. In Matthew 10, Let's read this quick. I think I'm using Mr. Pippi's time now, but he won't mind, I'm sure. In Matthew chapter 10, this is an interesting aside. It's on topic, but it's a limb off of the main topic. Let's call it that. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That's an interesting study, by the way, if you ever take the time to study that verse in its original text and all of the commentaries that apply to that verse. It's actually a very interesting study. Now, I did print off a couple things from one of my commentaries that I thought it would be interesting to read this, brethren, because if you consider the battle that we're engaged in, this is some excellent advice. Now, Clark's take on this verse, on this phrase, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Okay? Here's what Adam Clark has to say about that. He who is called to preach the gospel is called to embrace a state of constant labor and frequent suffering. He who gets ease and pleasure in consequence of embracing the ministerial office neither preaches the gospel nor is sent of God. If he did the work of an evangelist, wicked men and demons, would both oppose him. I thought that was a very interesting observation, or interpretation, I guess a better word, on that verse, or that section of that verse. Barnes, on the same passage, he has a little sentence here, I thought it would be interesting to read this too. That is, I send you inoffensive and harmless, into a cold, unfriendly, and cruel world. Your innocence will not be a protection. And then, as you know, the verse goes on, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So, I'm just going to read a few sentences from this, because I thought that was interesting also, because it kind of applies to the spiritual battle that we're in. All right? It's a bit of wisdom, I guess, in that battle. This is a proverbial saying. There is beauty in this saying which is seldom observed. The serpent is represented as prudent to excess, being full of cunning, and the dove is simple, even to stupidity. But Jesus Christ corrects here the cunning of the serpent by the simplicity of the dove, and the too great simplicity of the dove by the cunning of the serpent. Barnes here, he says, serpents have always been an emblem of wisdom and cunning. The Egyptians used the serpent in their hieroglyphics as a symbol of wisdom. Probably the thing in which Christ directed his followers to imitate the serpent was in its caution in avoiding danger. No animal equals them in rapidity and skill with which they evince in escaping danger. So said Christ to his disciples, you need caution and wisdom in the midst of a world that will seek your lives. He directs them also to be harmless, not to provoke danger, not to injure. He goes on somewhat more to talk about that, but I thought that was an interesting interpretation of that verse, brethren, because if we're constantly aware of the spiritual battle that surrounds us, brethren, then we will need to be constantly aware not only of how to fight back, but also how to avoid these problems in the first place. We have all the tools that we need. Let's fight it.